Today's shiur is a Masechta Bava Kamma on Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, 18 lines from the bottom of the Yomid, at the beginning of the line, with the words Hahu Gavro. The Gemara is now going to relate a story that is connected to the sugya that we had in yesterday's shiur. At the end of the sugya, we had three shitas in how we estimate what the value of the damage that the shor ate. The first sheet was that of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, saw b'shishim sod. In other words, the owner of the animal does not have to pay for what his animal ate directly, as it would be bought in the marketplace, but rather we look at the loss of this aruga, this bed of fruit, in a size of a field that's a saw, and we make two calculations. First, we figure out how much 60 saw would cost. In the example we gave in yesterday's shiur, let's say that would cost 600 dinrei zov. Then we figure out one saw, which would be a 60th, that would come out to 10 dinrei zov, and from those 10 dinrei zov, we subtract how much that plot of land of a saw is now worth minus the aruga that the animal ate. So there were two estimations that are necessary to find out what the owner of the animal has to pay. According to Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, similarly, Rabbi Yanai made it one saw and 30, Tarkav B'shishim Tarkavim. And then we had the sheet of Chizkia, who said that we don't go through two estimations, but rather whatever the animal ate is figured out, not independently, but in relationship to 60 times what the animal ate. Kloch, if the animal ate a stalk, then it would be b'shishim klochim. If the animal ate a saw, then it would be shishim saw. Whatever the animal ate, there's one cheshbin, ubir b'steyacha, we learned it from a pasuk, that you always have to pay what the animal ate in relationship to a larger plot of land, minus what the animal ate, and that is how much the field would be worth with what the animal ate, and how much the field is worth without what the animal ate. And that is what the mazik has to pay to the nizik. So our sugya, Rabbeinu Chananel, tells us, is going according to the sheet of Chizkia, that you always pay with one estimation, 60 times what the animal ate, that 1/60th is how much he has to pay to the nizik. Begins the Gemara. Hahu gavra. There was this man, dekatz kashba mechavrei. He cut down a palm tree of his friend. Also, lekame deresh galusa. So he was called to a din Torah in front of the head of the galus. Omar le deresh galusa said to the mazik ledidi chazuli. I saw this palm tree when it was standing. Utlosa to also bekina havekame. And there were three palm trees which were lined up in one spot, one next to the other. And therefore, v'havishava me'ezuzi, all three of these palm trees together were worth 100 zuzim, and you damaged one, zil havlei tlosin v'tilsa, go pay him a third, which will come out to be 33 1/3 zuzim. That's what you have to pay. Omar, so the mazik said to the reish galusa, gabe reish galusa dedon dina de parso, lomeli. What do I have to be connected with a reish galusa, as Rashi says, who is not paskening din Torah, but rather he's paskening the dinim of the Persians. The Persians were the rulers of Bavel at that time, and what the mazik was saying to the reish galusa was that you're not paskening din Torah, you're paskening the Persian law that rules over the land that we're in at present. Also, l'kamei Rav Nachman, the mazik went to Rav Nachman, Amar Lei, Rav Nachman, paskin b'shishim, as the Rabbeinu Chananel explained, that this is the sheet of Chizkia, that whatever you were mazik, it's 1/60th of 60 times that amount. How much 60, in this case, How much would 60 palm trees cost? And now you damaged one of the 60. How much you have to pay is the loss of the 1/60th of the total amount. As we explained, the sheet of Chizki, it's not two estimations, but rather it's one estimation. How much it was worth all 60, in this case, palm trees together. How much it's worth now that we only have 59 and we're missing the 60th one. And that difference, the mazik has to pay. Amalei Rava said Rava, when he heard this psak of Rab Nachman, that Rab Nachman was passing like Chizki in this case, im amru b'niske memoinoi, yomru b'niske gufoi. The whole machloikis that we had, the three shitas at the top of the Yamed, that was when my mumen, when my shor, my seh, when my animal ate something, then the Torah says, ubiyur b'stei acher, and from that we learned out that you always have to estimate what the animal ate in comparison to a larger amount, 60, the Chachamim were Mishar, that is 60, as we learned from the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayis, because the number 60 is what we use in Bitl B'Shishim, in many halachas of the Torah. So the Torah says, if we have to, the Chazal said, if we have to estimate it in a larger amount, the larger amount will be 60 times that amount. But that was only said, B'niske Gufoi. But here we're talking about a case where Hahu Gavrad was a man that did this damage. Where do we find such a precedent that we estimate in a bigger amount and we take 1/60th? By Niske Gufoy Lachaira, the Reish Galusa was correct. That if all the three palms over there were cost 100 zuzim, and you damaged one of the three, you have to pay for that alone. Not 1/60th. But rather, you estimate how much that palm tree itself is worth, which is 33 1/3 zuzim. Amalei Abai LeRava, said Abai to Rava, B'niske Gufoi, Ma Dateich, what is your thinking by Niske Gufoi? Why do you think that Niske Gufoi is different than Niske Memoinoi, the Sanya? Because you found the Braisa, which states, Hamafkir Kamashach Averei Smadar, if somebody destroyed in the vineyard of his friend, Smother. Now we're going to have in the next daf, we're going to speak about grapes at various stages of development. And let's discuss it right now, and we'll refer back to it as we go along in the sugya. The stage one is called lulavi gefanim, shoots of grapevines, where you see the grape cluster. You could tell there's a cluster of grapes here, but you cannot individually see each grape. That's how small the grapes are. The next stage is the one the Gemara here is speaking about, which is smadar, where there are small grapes already, which are discernible, but it comes after the blossoms have fallen off from the flower that is around the grape. And the next stage is called boiser. Boiser is half of the normal size, half of the ripeness of a full grape. And Rashi tells us it's as big as a white bean, pul halavan. These are the three stages that we're going to discuss in the next stuff. So here we're speaking about the middle stage, which is smadar. So somebody destroyed that budding fruit. Royin oisai kama hoisa yofa kaidim lachain. We look at the ground. How much was the ground worth with this budding fruit, the kamahi yafal acher mikan. And now that you, mazik, destroyed it, how much it's worth less because it's missing what you destroyed. The ilu b'shishim like tani. It doesn't say anything about estimating it first as part of a group of 60 and then minus 1 and how much the difference is between the 59 and the 60. It doesn't say anything about 60. It says you look at the thing itself, and whatever the market value is of that thing, that's what you pay. So you found a brisa, which doesn't say anything about 60. And that's why you asked the question to Rab Nachman, that there should be a difference between Niske Gufoy and Niske Memoinoi, that the cheshbin of 1 in 60 is only a cheshbin by ubir b'stei acher, by an animal, not by a person, and you found a brisa that seems to support what you're saying. But otu gabi behemte nami miloy tanya ki ay gavna, I can bring you a brisa which says the exact same thing by a behema also. It doesn't say a word about 60th. And yet, we're going to have to say, because there, we know by Behemoth is definitely a concept of 60th, we're going to have to say that that's understood, that we mean 60. So just like it's understood by Behemoth, so too by Adam, it's understood also that it's estimated 1 out of 60. Where do we find a brisa where it's not mentioned 1 out of 60? The Sanya, we learned in a brisa, Katma Natiya, if the animal broke a young tree, Rabbi Yossi says, how much does the owner of the animal have to pay? The ones who decided on knasos in Yerushalayim, and Rashi brings down from the Gemara in the last parak in Masechta Ksuba, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, that whenever we use the terminology koinsei knasos, it refers to Admon and Chanan ben Avshalom. So these two gedolim, they paskind, Oimrim, they said that here's what you have to pay for this young tree that got broken. Netiya bashnasa shtei kesef. If it's a one-year-old young tree, then you have to pay 2 kesef. And if it's bashtei shanim, if it's 2 years old, then arba kesef. You have to pay 4 kesef. So here it doesn't mention anything about 1 in 60, but the Taisa Rabbeinu Peretz says this, we could still learn as 1 in 60. What the Geizri Gzeish Rishlaim meant to say was that at a minimum you have to pay for a 1-year-old tree 2 kesef, and for a 2-year-old tree you have to pay 4 kesef. But Einichanami, it does involve this cheshbin of 1 in 60. The kasha that we're going to ask is from the next part of the Brisa. Ochlo chaziz. Another word for chaziz is shachas, which means grain which has just sprouted. So it didn't bloom to its full potential, and now it was destroyed by the animal. The animal ate it up. So how do you estimate what you have to pay? Rabbi Yosef Glili Oimer, nidun b'meshuyer shaboy. So Rabbi Yosef Glili Shita is that we don't pay for right now, but rather if it's going to become to the full bloom. Let's say in 2 months, we wait for the 2 months, we see what the other wheat that was right next to it is now worth, and that's what you have to pay. Now, this many times will be a lot of money, but sometimes, let's say, for one reason or another, the other crops got damaged. So it could come out that if you wait for 2 months to see what happens, he'll have to pay nothing. The point of Rabbi Yossi is that we never pay, the mazik doesn't pay at the potential, the mazik has to pay the payel. What is it worth later when it's harvested? If it's worth a lot, you have to pay a lot, because that's what you cause damage. If it's not worth anything, you pay nothing, according to Rabbi Yossi Glili. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Glili. The Chacham disagree, and they say, we look at how much the ground is worth with this chaziz on it, and then we figure out v'kama hi yafa, how much is it worth now without the chaziz. So here is going to be one of the proofs of what the Gemara is trying to prove. It doesn't say a word about 1 in 60. And we know by an animal, we always go with the shear, ubi or b'stei acher. You have to figure it out compared to a larger amount. If it's a base saw, you have to figure out how much 60 saw are worth, and then this is 1/60. So even though it doesn't say samach, we have to say it's included. So that's going to be the Gemara's kasha. You, Rava, make a chilek. You're trying to distinguish between niske memoinoi and niske gufoi, because you found a brisa that niske gufoi doesn't mention anything about 1 in 60, but here speaking about niske behemoth, it also doesn't mention 1 in 60. But we have to say, even though it doesn't mention it, it means it. That the estimation of kamhoisa yafa, vekami yafa, is built on this formula of 1 in 60. So just like you have it by niske behemoth, the same din is by niske gufoi. As we turn to daf nun tesamid aleph, Achla smadar, if it ate, as we explained before, the middle category when a grape is starting to develop. As Rashi says, anovim dakim baschalosn l'achash porchu miyad, that the flowers have just fallen off, and out comes a tiny grape, if you ate that. So how do we measure the potential? Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a roi in my son, ki ilu hein anovim oim dili batzer. You look at this tiny little grape that has just come forth from the blossoms, and you figure out what will this be worth when it's a full-grown grape. Now, this sounds very much like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says you have to look at the future. That's what Rabbi Yossi Aglili says by grain which has just sprouted. But Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil Achol HaSmadar tells us that it's different. Because if you'll notice, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's lashon is kimishuyer shaboy. Kimishuyer shaboy means, as we explained, you have to wait till it actually comes to harvest, and you have to see what's the state of the crops at that time. Did it grow well, or perhaps there was a sun burst which burnt all the vegetables or all the wheat, and you don't have to pay anything at that time. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you have to wait till the actual harvesting takes place and see what this item that you destroyed is worth later when it actually harvests. That's by wheat, as Tosfos explains, because wheat on the field, it's either going to harvest well or medium or not at all, but it's not going to be one part of the field good, the other field bad. Part of the field bad. However, by grapes in the same season with the same temperature and weather conditions, some vines will grow very well, and other vines in the same field will spoil. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is not saying, wait and see what happens to the rest. Because I don't know this particular vine that this animal ate, I don't know if this is going to be from the hatzlachadika ones, the successful ones, or from the non-successful ones. So here it's not the meshuyer, it's not look what happens to the rest of the field, but rather here, whatever you ate, we say, imagine that you didn't just eat a little grape that just blossomed, you ate a full-grown grape, and that's what you have to pay. The Chachamim go with their same formula. Royin kamahi sa yafa, the kamahi yafa. How much was it worth the ground with these grapes on it? And how much is it worth now that it's missing these grapes? Again, it doesn't say anything about samach, but we have to say samach is implicit, and therefore, just like niske behemah, niske memoinai, it means with samach, niske adam is the same thing. Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, I'm Rishim Rab Shimon, he has another formula. Bamed vor mamurim, when do we say that the Chachamim's formula of kama hoysa yafa v'kama hi yafa, that's only b'zman she'achla lulav e'gefanim. That's only when it ate the first signs of grapes growing on the vine, which we explained are shoots of grapevines, where you cannot tell that there's a little grape there. It's even less than smadar. You can only see there's a cluster, there's a form of a cluster of grapes. But if you're going to look for each individual grape, you won't be able to make it out. It's so tiny. So if it's lulav e'gefanim, or similarly, when we're talking about figs, v'yichurei te'enim, also, you only see like a cluster, but you don't see each individual fig. So that's when the halach is, you estimate what it was worth with what the animal ate, and what it's worth absent what the animal ate. Avol ochlo pagim oibayser. But if the animal ate pagim, are half-ripe figs, and boiser is half-ripe grapes, which Rashi says is the size of a pull alavan. This is a further stage than smador. As we explained before, we have three stages until it becomes a full-grown fruit, which we'll call the fourth stage. The first stage is lulav gefanim, where you only see a cluster. The second stage is smother. You see the blossoms, and from the blossoms comes out a little tiny grape. The third stage, which we're talking about right now, is boiser, when it's already the size of a pula lovin, a white bean, but it's only half ripe. And then comes the full ripe grape. So, achla pagim oi boiser, royin oi son, kilo anavim oim dim li botzer. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda makes like a compromise between the first two shitas. Rabbi Yeshua says that smadr goes, it's as if it's a full grown grape. The Chachamim say you make this estimation, how much it was worth with it, how much it's worth without it. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the name of Reb Shimon, says it depends what we're talking about. Lulavi gafanim, go like the chachamim, how much it's worth with, how much it's worth without, and pagim my baiser, there we go like Reb Yeshua Shita, that we consider it as if Rashi says this is already considered peiris gemurim, as if it's a full fledged, fully grown and ripe grape or fig. Now you'll notice that Reb Shimon does not discuss the middle category of smadur. He discusses when it's at its smallest stage, which is lulavi gefanim. He discusses boiser, which is already half ripe. He doesn't discuss the middle stage of smadur. The Gemara later is going to shelzach on this point. What happened to smadur? What is the shita of Reb Shimon in the case of smadur? Ketani mias. But we learned anyway what's nageya to why we're bringing this whole brisa, that the chachamim said, the chachamim oimrim, in two places in this brisa, roi and oi son, kama hoisa yafa, v'kama hi yafa. We had that by chazis, by the newly grown sprouting wheat, and now we had it again by the smadur, how much the ground was worth, how much it's worth now. V'loik tani b'shishim, shishim is totally absent. Elamai yislach l'meimer b'shishim. You have to say, even though shishim is not written, it's considered implicit that it means shishim. Hachinami b'shishim. So what are you, Rava, trying to say? That the Reish Galusa was correct and Rav Nachman was wrong, that Rav Nachman shouldn't have paskin b'shishim. By a case of Niske Memoinai, why? Because by Niske Gufoi, because you had a brisa that by Niske Gufoi did not mention Shishim. I have a brisa by Niske Memoinai also didn't mention Shishim. And that's clear that you have to have a din of Shishim. So must be, even though it didn't say it, it meant it. Who had din by Niske Gufoi? It didn't say it, but it meant it. And therefore, Rav Nachman is correct that there is no difference Niske Gufoi and Niske Memoinai. You always estimate with a larger amount of Shishim. Amr Rabbi said Abaya, Rabbi Yosef Gilu Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Dover Echad. Rabbi Yosef Gilu Rabbi Shmuel said the same halacha, the same idea. Rabbi Yosef Gilu Hodamorin. Rabbi Yosef Gilu was on the bottom of Nun Chesamid Beis by Chazis, that he said, you go with the Meshuyer. We have to see how it develops, and whatever the loss is at the time of harvest, that is what the Mazik is going to have to pay. So Rabbi Yosef Gilu always looks into the future. Not what it's worth now, but what it's going to be worth in the future. Rabbi Shmuel says the same thing, the Sanya. And we had this sugya before at the beginning of the Masechta on Davov Amid Beis. Meitiv Sodehu Meitiv Karma Yisham. The Pasuk says that he has to pay with the best of his field. The question is, whose field? So we had a Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Meitiv Sodehu Shal Nizik, Meitiv Karma Shal Nizik. The Mazik has to pay the best of the Nizik's field, Divri Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, he argues, Loi Boa Kosov El Ligvois L'Nizakin Min Ha'idiyas. The Torah is saying, Meitiv Sodehu Meitiv Karma, not of the Nizik, but of the Mazik. V'kal v'chaymer lahegdish. Maduch, the Torah said that if you're mazik a hedget, the nizik collects from the best of the mazik. Kal v'chaymer, if you're mazik hegdish, that hegdish collects from the mazik, from the best of the mazik. Now, the problem that we have in this machloikis is Rabbi Shmuel Shita. What does it mean that you pay from the best of the nizik? As the Gemara, Rashi brings down the Gemara's question on Vav Amid Beis, Achla chusha misham shmeina. If the animal ate from the lowest valued crops, are you telling me that the Torah was mechayev of the mazik to pay from the nizik's best crops? That's not what the animal ate. Why should the mazik have to pay from the nizik's best crops? So the Gemara there gave an answer, which, by the way, in the sugya here, we don't even mention, and that is that it's speaking about the animal ate from the best of the nizik. But the best of the nizik was the worst of the mazik. So here's the machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says you pay what you ate, the best of the nizik. Rabbi Akiva says no, the Torah said that we're going to punish the mazik for not watching over his shore, and he's going to have to pay from the best of the mazik. The zaburius of the mazik were equal to the best of the nizik. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, what does the mazik have to pay with his worst, which is equivalent to the best of the nizik? But according to Rabbi Akiva, no, he pays with the mazik's best. That's how we learned it on Volume of Beis. Here, the Gemara doesn't even mention that teretz. So, how are we going to answer that question? Achla chusha misham shmeina. So the Gemara says, V'loiteima, don't say to Pshat to answer this question, K'ravidi bar Avin, as Ravidi bar Avin tried on Vav Amud Beis to give an answer. D'amar Ravidi bar Avin, you know what the answer to your question is? K'goin, sh'achla aruga ben arugais, the sheep or the ox ate a bed amongst other beds of produce. V'lo yadina, we don't know. Ikhu shavoy, ishmein avoy. We don't know. Was that a good one? Or was it a shracha one, a weak one? That was not expensive. The Omar and Rabbi Idibar Avin says that Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, you go after the nizik. What does it mean? Kom shlim shmeina b'meitav de'ika hashta. You, the mazik, you have to pay the best of the nizik. Means, since I don't know what the animal ate, did he eat a weak one or did he eat a strong one, a good one, you have to pay the best. That's how Rabbi Idibar Avin understood Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva holds you always pay the best of the mazik. What does Rabbi Shmuel hold? If you have a suffix, what you eat, what the animal ate, you have to pay the best that the nizik has in his field now. One bed is worth $5 and the other bed is worth $100. You have to assume that the animal ate the one of $100 and that's what you have to pay. That, so the Gemara says that's wrong. Don't learn like Rabbi Idibar Avin. Why? The Hachaloyam Rina, we don't say that. Why not? My time, Hamoitz Mechavel of Araya. What do you mean? You have a suffix what the animal ate. Did he eat the chusha or the shmena? So the nizik has to prove in Bezdin that the mazik's ox ate the shmena. Otherwise, all the mazik has to pay is the chusha. You prove to me that my ox damaged you with the shmena. So that pshat of Rabbi Idibar Avin is not acceptable. Ella, oh, I'll give you a different teretz. B'meitiv d'lekamei, you have to pay, the mazik has to pay the future value of the meitav. U'mayniyu kehech d'solik, and what is that? How much it's worth at the time when it's removed, which means at the time of tzira. Ah, now we understand the machloikis between the best of the nizik or the best of the mazik. What Rabbi Shmuel means the best of the nizik is, don't pay me how much it's worth today. Pay me how much it's going to be worth in 2 months when you harvest it. It's going to be worth much more. So very good. It comes out that Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Shimon Amru Davar Echad, they both project the future. Rabbi Yossi Aglili by Chazis says, B'meshuyer, you have to see how it's worth, how much it's worth at the time of harvest. And that's the pshat that we're saying now in Rabbi Yishmael, that you have to pay the meitav of the nizik, means not what it's worth now, which is very little, but how much it's going to be worth when it's harvested. Omar Mar. Now the Gemara goes into the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud in the name of Rabbi Shimon, and the question that we posed before, what's the din according to him by Smador? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud, Rabbi Shimon, Bamed Vormamorm, when do we estimate how much it was worth and how much it is worth today after the damage? Bamed Vormamorm, Sha'achlo, Lulavi Gefanim, Vichu Retainim. That's only if the animal ate the shoots of grapevines, or the churetanim, which by figs are equivalent to lulavi gefanim, where you can only tell the cluster, you can't tell each individual grape, it's so tiny. Hos mother, I could make a deduction that what would be by the middle stage, when it's a little grape just coming out of the blossoms of the flowers, hos mother, royanoi son, kilu anovim nibatzer. So there we're going to consider it as if it's grapes that are ready to be harvested. Aim a seifa. Let's deduce from the seifa. Ochla pagimai baiser. If it ate it when it was half ripe figs or half ripe grapes, then we said, who deroyan oisan kilo novmaim libatzer? That's when Reb Shimon ben Yehuda said that you have to look at it as if it's totally grown, ready to be harvested. I can make a deduction, hosmador, but if it's less than that, it's in the middle stage of smador, royan oisan kamahi yafa vikama oisi yafa. Then it will take the other halacha, how much it's worth now if the animal had not eaten it, and how much it's worth now that the animal ate it. So I have a stira. From the Reisha, this din of Kama, Hoysa Yafa, the Kama Yafa is said only by the grape clusters, by Lulave Gefanim, when it's at its smallest. But Smador would be at the time of harvest. And from the Seifa, where we speak about what? The Boiser, that's like a pulalovin, a bigger, it's already half ripe, like a white bean. So that's when it's kishas tzira, boitzer. But the smadr would be like the halacha of lulavi gefanim. So it's a stira, reisha to the sefer. Amar Ravina, Ravina answers the stira, kroich v'tani, bundle them together. And put smother together with the seifa. Bamed vorm amurim, when do you estimate how much it was worth and how much it is worth now, which we explained before means b'shishim, b'zman shachlu lovi gefanim yichuritenim. That's only if he ate it at the smallest level of clusters. Avel achla smador paginoi baiser. Now I'm going to bundle them all together. But if you ate at the two later stages, when it's a small little grape out of the blossoms, or when it's half ripe figs and half ripe grapes, royanai son kilo navlamli batser. Those last three examples of smador paginoi baiser, they all have one aloch of anavim oimdunli batser. Ask the Gemara if that's the pshat in Rav Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rav Shimon, Hachi Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Haina Rabbi Yeshua. So what difference is there between Rabbi Shimon Yud and Rabbi Yeshua? What did Rabbi Yeshua say? Achla smador. Rabbi Yeshua said, Roy and I son Kilein anovim oimli batser. The first two top lines of the Amud here. And according to what you're saying, Rabbi Shimon Yud said that halacha by pagamai baiser, and he also said it by smador. If Rabbi Yeshua said it by smador, he certainly said it by baiser, which is bigger than smador, that you look at it as if it's already considered a full-grown grape. Not how much it's worth now in its present state between when it was here and now that the animal ate it when it's not here. No, you go to the harvest time. So it comes out that Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Shimon and Ben Yud are saying the same thing. The Gemara says there is a difference. Ikke benayu, chash gufna. How much you have made it worth less the vine itself. As Rashi explains, the longer grapes remain on a vine, the weaker the vine becomes because it has to nourish the grapes. A vine that is growing without any grapes on it is stronger than a vine that has to constantly give nutrition to the grapes that are upon it. So one of these shitas, as we'll soon say, we don't know which one. They both hold you have to project to the future how much it's going to be worth when it's a full-grown grape. But one of them says, as you're making the mazik pay full dollar for how much it's going to be worth when it gets harvested, you have to subtract how much the vine is worth less that it has full-grown grapes on it. Next year's crop on the same vine won't be as hardy. Why? Because it's a weaker vine. The vine that doesn't have any grapes on it, which were eaten up and didn't produce grapes this season, next year will be a stronger vine. So that has to be minused. One of the sheet to say you paid a full amount. You're not minus anything. The other sheet that says, yes, you project the future, full-grown grape, but you have to take into account that by the fact that his animal removed the grapes, in a sense, gave the nizik a hardier vine, and that amount has to be subtracted from the end payment. V'loy mesaimi, we don't know clearly who holds what. Who holds that you take into account chash gufna? Is it Rabbi Yeshua or is it Rab Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rab Shimon? Abayu, Amar Abayu says no. Mesaimi, Mesaimi. What do you mean? From another place, I will show you that I know clearly which of these two shittas says that when you project the future, you have to project the entire future, even the negative part, the minus part. Mantana de chash gufna. You know who it is? Rab Shimon ben Yehuda. He. I'll prove it to you. The Sani will learn the brisa for a completely different halacha. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rav Shimon ben Menashe, Oynes Einim Mishamas Hatzar. If somebody rapes a woman, he doesn't have to pay the tzar. Means, if he pushed her down, so that tzar that was caused, the hezek and the tzar, he has to pay. But the tzar that took place during the bia, that he broke the makama erva, that he doesn't have to pay. Why? Mibnesha Seifel at Star, Tachas Bala. She's going to have that tsar when she gets married. So he, by doing this, is causing that in the future she won't have this tzar from her husband. So memela that in the total picture of the payments that he has to give the woman that he raped, he doesn't have to pay for this specific tzar. So what do you see that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds? That you, when you project the future, you, when you have to make payments, you have to project everything in the future, even what comes out to be better for the woman. Amruloi, so the Chachamim say to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, in concept we agree to you, but ain't a diamond of Velas Baratz and Velas Bainus. Lamaisa, the tsar of a woman who is raped, is greater than even in the Maisa Bia, than when her husband does it with her willingly, and the male, the extra tsar, has to be paid for. Bezdin has to estimate how much is that extra tsar that was caused through the oinus, and that extra tsar he has to pay for. So Abaye says that we see clearly from Rav Shimon ben Yehuda that his sheet is that when you go into the future, you have to deduct from the person who has to pay the payments any benefits that came out from his maisa. So therefore, Chash Gufna, in Nageya to our Indian here of the vines, you will subtract how much by his animal eating up the grapes he caused that the vine is now stronger. Otherwise, if it would have had the grapes on it, it would have gotten weaker, and that he does not have to pay for. Amar Abaya, said Abaya, Hani Tanoi, who say that you have to take everything into account when you go into the future. Any mitigating factors, anything that is for the betterment of the mazik, that helps the mazik, you have to take it into account. So these tanoim that we are going to learn, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Amru Dovrecha, they said the same thing. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Hadamorim, we just learned, by oinus we learned it, by now we're saying the same thing by the vines, the same halacha. And by the way, if Rav Shimon ben Yehuda is the one who says you take into account Chash Gufna, it means that Rabbi Yeshua, the top of the Amid, who says that you pay for Anovim Oimdim Libatzer, he's gonna hold that you don't subtract Chash Gufna. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amorin, Hani Tanoi Mahi, what is this? The Sani, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi Aimer. This is speaking about the Gabi the Din of Kiyunatsu Beis Anashim, Vinakfu Ishahara. Two men were fighting with each other, and by accident, they hit a pregnant woman, and she lost her, Vyotsi Ladeh, she lost her children. So, the Anish Yonish, the person who caused the children to be miscarried, he has to pay to the owner, to the husband, he has to pay how much the children are worth, and the Nezek and the Tsar, he has to pay to the woman. But, says Rabbi Yossi, when he pays this to the woman, and he pays to the man, he subtracts. What does he subtract? Naki Chaya. The husband had a benefit from his wife's miscarriage, so to speak. Nobody should have such a benefit, but the benefit is that he doesn't have to hire a midwife so that his wife can give birth. So that gets subtracted. The midwife would have cost $500, so for whatever he has to pay to the husband, he subtracts the midwife. Benazi Amr Naki Mizoinus. The mazik can subtract Mizoinus. As Rashi explains, when a woman is pregnant, she needs more nourishment for herself and the child. So now that she's no longer pregnant, so for those couple of months till the birth would have taken place, he doesn't have to give that Mizoinus. Subtract. So Mandi Amr Naki Chaya Koshke Naki Mizoinus. The one who holds it, you subtract the midwife, certainly you subtract the mizonis. But mandi omer naki mizonis, the one that says you subtract the mizonis, avol naki chai aloi. But you don't subtract the midwife. Why? The omer lei, because the husband can say to the mazik, itza didi, my wife, pikicha hi, she is an expert, v'loi mi boy a chaya, she doesn't need a chaya. So I know, in other words, you only have to pay what's definite. What is definite? What do you subtract definitely? You subtract definitely that you don't have to give extra mezonos. That's no shaila. But to say that you subtract the chaya, so the husband can say, my wife doesn't need a chaya, so that my wife could have gotten on without a chaya. And memela, that you can't subtract. So the meforshim here ask Akasha from the Gemara, Masech Tesaita, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara there says that even a chaya needs a chaya. Even a midwife needs a midwife. How could our Gemara say my wife is pekichahi? She doesn't need a midwife. Even a midwife needs a midwife. So the Hagois Ben Aryeh gives a very nice teretz, and he says, yes, a chaya needs a chaya, but she doesn't need an expert chaya. If she herself is a professional, so she may need a chaya for the practical applications of giving birth, but she can advise even a non-professional how to help her give birth. She doesn't have to, she can get a volunteer for that. So when the husband over here is saying, my wife, she might, Einachanami, have to get a volunteer to help her, but she doesn't have to pay for a professional nurse, for a professional midwife. She herself is proficient. She knows what to do. She'll be able to advise during birth what the volunteer will help her with. That does not get subtracted from the payment. Continues the Gemara, Rav Papa, Rav Hanabrei, Rav Yeshua. We go back now to this whole sugya, the way it started. And that was the story of Ahu Gavra. How do you estimate the dekel, the palm tree that he knocked down? Do you estimate it by itself? It was one out of three. The three cost 100, so one cost 33 and a third. Or do you estimate it like we had the whole sugya here from a larger plot of land of Shishim, or in the case, like Chizkiah said, 60 times, as it would mean, one out of 60 dekalim, how much that loss is. So they talk a paskin like Rab Nachman, of the Kavasator Rab Nachman, Beshishim. Lishnachrin, another Lashon, which is saying the same thing in different words, Rab Papa, Rab Funabre, Rab Shua, Shamu, Dikla, Agav, Ketina, Da'ara. Agav, a small parcel of land where there were 60 dekalim there. The Lecha Mishnah says that since the Gemara here doesn't differentiate between the two Girsois, it means they're basically saying the same thing. We're dealing with Chizkiah Shita, that you, whatever you damaged, and we're going Bein Niske Gufoy, Bein Niske Mamoinai, is 60 times minus the one that you damaged. But the Gemara says, the Hilchasid, the Halacha is, Kavaseid Rapapa Rafinabre Rabishua, Bedikla Darmo. An Armenian Dikla, Einechanami, you go with the 60. The Hilchas Kavaseid Reshkalusa, Bedikla Parsa. In the Persian Dekel, there you would go like the Reshkalusa, that you would estimate it by itself, the market value, without this whole thing of multiplying it by 60 and seeing what the difference is minus this. You wouldn't go with 60. As Rashi explains on the bottom line of our Rashi, it's chashiv humoid, v'nishim b'fnei atzmai. A Persian dekel is very chashiv, and you don't look at other things, 60 other ones, you look at it itself. The Rivet says, because it's sold all the way by itself. Mimele, you never take into estimation this expensive Persian dekel to go with 60, but rather you look at it by itself. Eliezer's era, the Gemara now says a very interesting story with the younger Eliezer. Havisai Masani Yochmi, he had on his feet black shoes. Now, Tosfos brings from the top Tosfos, brings from a Gemara in Bey, Adav Tez, Vav Amud Aleph, that everybody wore black shoes. We're going to see that the house of the Reish Galusa found it strange that he's wearing black shoes. Tosfos proves in Gemara in Bey that everybody at that time wore black shoes. So why were they so nispoled that he's wearing black shoes? So Tosfos says what the Gemara really means is it was totally black. They taka, everybody wore black shoes, but they used to wear black shoes with white laces. That's how we have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that b'shas hashmada fila l'shanui irkisa de mesane osir. You have to be moisture nefes in the time of shmad, even if they want you to change from white shoelaces to red. They wear to go and wear red shoelaces. You Jews wear white. So if it's a time of shmad, a person has to be yarg val yavor, that he shouldn't follow what the goyim, avoid the zor of the goyim, to change from white to red. What he was doing over here was wearing totally black, meaning even the shoelaces were black itself. V'koy b'shukad nardoh. He was in the Shuk of Nardo. Ashkechu de Bei Reish Galusha, the house of the Reish Galusha found him. The Amrule, the house of the Reish Galusha said to Eliezer Zeira, Maishna Haimasani, what's going on with these shoes? Again, doesn't mean the shoes. It means what's wrong with the black shoes, which have black shoelaces. Amar Lahu, the Kamavilna Yerushalayim. It wasn't Tishra B'av Shiva Asa B'Tamas. It was in the middle of the year. But I'm mourning. I have, as the bottom words of that top Tosfos say, says, Mipnei Chibos Asher Yerushalayim. I have such an ava for Yerushalayim. And there's a churban. I wear black shoelaces a whole year round. I'm mourning for Yerushalayim. Amrulei. At chashivis l'sabuli Yerushalayim. You're so chashiv to be misabul Yerushalayim. Only a regular person does what Chazal told us to do. But to mourn a whole year, that's something for a Talmud Chacham, as the Pasuk says, v'yosef das, v'yosef michoiv. A person who has a lot of knowledge, a Talmud Chacham, he has more pain. He understands what the loss of Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash means. But who are you to act like a Talmud Chacham? Sover Yehurahav. They thought that he's acting in gaiva. And the Meforshim bring here to Gemara and Brachas of Yudzayin and Mebeis that a person is not supposed to do things which are above him, which look like he's a Balgaiva. Asyu v'chafshu. So for the punishment of being a Balgaiva, they imprisoned him, they put him in prison. Amar Lahu, he said to them, wait a second, Raboisai, Gavra Rabbanah. I taka Yosef Das, Yosef Michaev, I have Yosef Das, I'm a big person. That's what you say. How do we know? He said to them, "Oyaton boy minoy milsa." Either you fellows ask me a shaila, or yanoi boy minachem milsa. I'll ask him you a shaila. Amrulei boy yad. You asked him us a shaila. Amrulehu haim on the katz kufra. A person who knocked down a kufra, says Rashi, the second Rashi on the daf, kufra bitmorim by dates. Kiboyser banovim is like boyser, and boyser, if you remember, is the half-ripe the half-ripe grapes that we had on Amud Aleph. That's the level of tmorim, the pulalovim, the white bean. And here, for those who use art scroll, I want to point out that on 59b1 in number 6, there appears to be a mistake in the art scroll. The art scroll says the stage of kufr with respect to dates is equivalent of smudr with respect to grapes. So l'chayra, this is often a mistake, because Rashi over here tells us it's not like smudr, which is the middle stage of grapes, but rather it is like boiser, which is a further development. Anyway, this person knocked down a tree with these half-ripe dates. My Misham, what does he pay? That was the question that Eliezer Zira asked him. Amrulei Misham, to make kufra. What he damaged, that's what he has to pay. So he asked them back, Vohavi Tamri, but there's a potential growth there. He didn't just damage these kufras. He damaged what they're going to be worth in a few months when they fully ripen. So they said, okay, Amrulei Misham, to make tomorrow. Good point. They he should have to pay what the potential is. Amar Lahu, he said back to them, Volav Tamar Shakamine, but he didn't damage Tamar. So he had them coming and going. Amrulei, Amalanat, okay, we hear you stumped us. What do you say? Amar Lahu, Beshishim. So he said that here the halacha is Beshishim. In other words, as Rashi explains, that you, as Chazal said, that even by Niske Gufoy, we go, that Bir Bestei Acher means that you always estimate it compared to a larger field, how much it's worth. You make the two estimations, and a person who's buying a field, Rashi says, always looks, what will this develop after time? So it comes out that we take into the future into account, but yet you pay him on the value of what he would purchase it right now. So you do both together. You don't totally give it on the future. As the Chachamim said, how much is it worth now with, how much is it worth without? And the buyer is projecting how, a little bit he's going to pay, because he knows that he's not just getting kufras. If he buys kufras, he's getting potential tmorim, so he's going to put in a little extra because of that potential. So what he's trying to answer is, you don't go to either extreme, but you go in an estimation that will take into account the future. Amrulei, man amr kavasach, who says like you? Amar lehu, ha-shmul chayu, based in a kind. Shmuel and his bezdin is here. Go ask them, see if they agree with me. Shadru kamei to Shmuel, they asked the shayla to Shmuel. Amar lehu, so the Shmuel answered to the Bei Reish Galusa, Shapir karmel lehu b'shishem. Yes, he gave you the good psak, you taka do it b'shishem. Finally, he proved he was a gavur rabba b'shafku, they let him go out of prison. He was roy to mourn on Yerushalayim with black shoelaces. The Mishnah continued, Rav Shimon Oimer, Achla Peiros Gemurim. So the Mishnah said, Mishalem es Peiros Gemurim. So Reb Shimon's shita is that you don't do this estimation with shishim, but rather whatever you were mazik, that's what you have to pay. Frank the Gemara, my timer. We learned here a whole daf of this concept of shishim. What's the and we learned it from a pasuk, ubir b'stei acher, that you always have to estimate how much it's worth compared to a larger amount of shishim times. So how does Reb Shimon come to say you only have to pay, you pay for it individually, which will normally come out that I'll have to pay much more because you're looking at this thing, market value of the thing itself. So the Gemara answers, Reb Shimon's svara is, he agrees that there's bir b'stei acher. But hod the amar rachman bir b'stei acher, malamet sheshomen al gab hasada, that you have to estimate this saw to 60 saw. And then you have to estimate this aruga to the base saw. Hani mili, midi de tzarech l'sada. That's something that needs a sada. But hani, but these are peiros gemurim. They can be plucked from the tree. They don't need the sada anymore. Kivin, the late tzarech l'sada, beinayu boy shlumei. Since they don't have to come on to the sada anymore, they're fully developed, then Reb Shimon Sheet is that the halach of bir b'stei acher doesn't apply, then they get estimated on their own. Am Rav Huna Barchi, Am Rav Yir Bar Abba, don rav kara meir, uposak hilchasa, Kirav Shimon, that he did two halachas with the sheet to Mekabetza says, in the name of the Ra, we lumped together these two halachas that have no connection one with the other. The only connection is that Rav, in both cases, paskin like a das yachid. Concerning Rav Meir's sheet, which we're going to learn about, he paskin the halachal amais to shalat that came in front of him. Concerning Rav Shimon, pasuk hilchasa, Rashi explains, for future doiris. This is a psak that I want you to remember for future generations like Rav Shimon. What does this mean? Don Rav Karab Meir Asani, we learned in the Braisa. Kosev l'rishim v'lai chosmolai. A man had two fields, and a person's fields have a lien on them to pay his wife's ksuba. So the first field he sold, and his wife did not sign, which Tosfos here in Divrei HaMaskil Kosev explains, either it means, actually, our question is, did she sign on the contract or not? And, or it means she wasn't maskim, she wasn't moichel her shibud of the ksuba on this field. V'loi chosmoloi. L'sheni, the second field that was sold, v'chosmoloi. Then already either she signed or she gave in front of witnesses her approval that this field should be sold. If she did that, of the ksubasa, the Rameir. Rameir, she did, she cannot collect the ksuba. From the first field, she can't collect. As let's say after her husband dies or divorces her, there are no other fields that are left. So she can go to people who her husband sold the field to. To the first person, she can't go because he can always say, I left you a second field. To the second field, she can't go, says Rameir, because the second field, she agreed. She gave her a skama that she's moichel her shibud on the field for her ksuba, so she lost her ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Yechoy lehisha toimer, she can say, I didn't really want it. I did it begrudgingly. Nachas ruch asis labali. I didn't want to get into a domestic argument, so I agreed. He knew that if he's going to sell it without my permission, people are not going to want to buy it. So therefore, I acquiesced and I agree, but I really didn't mean it. Atemalachamalai, what do you want from me? I didn't want to get into a fight with my husband. That's the sheet of Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir says she cannot say that. Why? Because if so, then why didn't you sign on the first one either? The second one you signed, not the first one. So it looks like when you signed the second, when you agreed to give up your shibud on the second, you really meant it. So Rav Paskin, halacha l'maisa, this shaila, like Rav Meir, which apparently the Rabbim hold like Rav Yehuda, and Rav Meir is a das yachid, and yet Rav Paskin like him. Uposak hilchas k'Rav Shimon, what's that speaking about? That's our sugya. Ki hadis nan Rav Shimon, Omer, achla peiros gemurin, Rav Shalom is peiros gemurin, im sa'asam, sasayim, whatever the animal ate, that's, you don't estimate it with 60 if it's peiros gemurim. It doesn't need a sod anymore. And that's what you have to pay. So even though it's a das yachid, Rav said that the halacha for doiris is like Rav Shimon. We'll learn the next Mishnah and the small piece of Gemara. Hamagdish besoich sadeh chaveri shalai b'shus. If somebody went into his friend sadeh and he brought a pile of grain without permission, v'achlosim behemtish shabal sadeh, and the baal sadeh's animal ate them up, potter, because he can say, the owner of the sadeh can say, who told you to bring in your wheat into my property? So my animal's not responsible. V'im huska behen baal, if the animal damaged itself on by slipping on the peiros of on the wheat of the Baal HaGadosh. The din is that Baal HaGadosh chayv. The Baal HaGadosh has to pay for damage. If he ate the peiros and he overate and got sick or died, we learned before that was the svara of Rav, that Rav says that he could always say, who told your animal to eat? I don't have to pay if he got damaged by eating my Gaddish. But if he slipped, then the Baal HaGaddish has to pay. Continues the Mishnah, ve'im higdish b'rishus, and if he got permission to put down the wheat over there, the bundles of wheat, then if the animal ate the wheat, the din is Baal HaSadah chayiv, then he has to pay for damaging the Baal HaGaddish's Gaddish because he gave him permission. Says the Gemara, Lema tznanda like a Rebbe. L'chayr, this Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Why? The Ika Rebbe, Yomar, Achi Kabbalu of Baal Habayis Lishmor. If I gave you permission to bring your Gaddish in, and my animal ate, according to Rebbe, I'm still potter. Why? I gave you permission to bring it in, but I didn't say I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch my animal. You should watch it. I'm just giving you permission to bring it in. So according to Rebbe, the only time the Baal HaSadah would be chayiv for eating, if his animal ate up the Gaddish, would be if he said, I will watch it. I will watch my animal that he won't damage your Gaddish. So L'chayr, our Mishnah is saying not like that. Our Mishnah says nothing about saying, Achi Kabbal of Baal HaBayis Lishmor, and getting your chayiv. Amar Rapapan, no, it's not a rye from our Mishnah against Rebbe. Hacha Benatar Beidori Eskin. Here we're speaking about where all the farmers in that area made up that they're going to bring their bundles of wheat into one field, and in that one field they're going to have a shomer. So the person who is telling the Baal HaGaddish to bring his wheat in is the shomer. The kivin d'amrlei ayel v'gadosh, since the shomer said to the Baal HaGaddish, bring your Gaddish in. He didn't just mean bring it in. Implicit in that statement is, I'll v'antilachu. He was saying, bring it in and I'll watch it for you. Memela there, even Rebbe's moida, that if something happens, if the animal ate it up, that this Baal, the shomer, will be chayiv to pay to the Baal HaGaddish.